Oh, welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of TFMetalsReport.com. And Craig, I want to follow up on some of the market moves that we have seen since that Fed speech just last week and the pause in terms of rate hikes that we got. And quite frankly, just a pause, a new stance for the Fed. What we've seen in terms of the metals, they've moved sideways to even a little bit down. Treasuries have actually moved up a little bit. The U.S. markets have been relatively quiet, but again, those are simply just driven by headline to headline each day. But those moves in metals and in bonds seem almost contrary to what some of these naysayers about the Fed are saying regarding, you know, the Fed has truly switched course. They are no longer going to be hiking rates. The market isn't necessarily telling us that on the back of their statement.
Isn't it interesting? Yeah, I mean, the dollar's done nothing but go straight up. I mean, you would have thought, given what Powell said in his press conference and in the FOMC Fed lines a week ago, that the dollar would have weakened. But instead, it's up, well, maybe a point and a half. It's gone up every single day. And that has certainly helped steal the thunder from the metals, which are now actually down. Gold's maybe flat, but silver's down maybe 15 or 20 cents from where it was in the aftermath or from where it was when Powell first spoke. And so that's kind of counterintuitive, no doubt about it. And it, if anything, I don't know, maybe it ends up being kind of a buy the rumor, sell the news type thing, Corey, because, you know, you go back to the Friday before the FOMC, so 2 weeks ago tomorrow, that story hit on the Wall Street Journal about the Fed reducing the pace of their quantitative tightening. Gold went up $20 that day and silver was up 40 cents. And then you get the actual news of all of that last Wednesday. And then all of a sudden now everything goes down. We had gotten, you know, a lot of technical signals were showing us being overbought. And so, if anything, it's just kind of a pause to work off maybe a little bit of the excessive optimism. You and I have spoken since November about an anticipated year-end and Q1 rally that could extend to 1310 or 1330 in gold. We got to 1331. So for me, I think it's just step one. We've accomplished that. And now we can begin to assess, where we go from here in kind of a three steps forward, two steps back that are typical, actually, to bull markets. We've just kind of forgotten about how that works because it's been so damn long since we've had one.
Yeah, boy, has it ever been. Hey, you look at that monthly chart, something I've talked about a lot. We're entering our sixth year in this boring market. And one thing that we do need to consider is that metals have moved up pretty nicely, and they could very well, or they are, due for some sort of a pullback. But overall, the market is, and this includes metals investors and the generalist investor, trying to understand what might be a new normal for the market, at least for 3 months, 6 months, who knows, maybe the whole year, where the Fed is on the sidelines and people need to find where some money might be flowing into. So there is this potential of simply just sideways movements for, I think, a while. What do you think?
No, that's certainly a possibility. And again, everybody wants all of the year's gains to be condensed into, you know, a couple of weeks, right? You know, at the beginning of the year, everybody kind of goes, okay, well, I've got this price target. And you and I have talked about how I think this year is going to be the best year since 2010. You know, and so, okay, 2010 was a 30% gain for gold. Let's just say we do 15 or 20. You know, where's that put us? 1450? So if that's the case, everybody wants it to be 1450 yesterday. They forget that it's, again, typical kind of a three-step forward, two-step back thing. And, these gains come over time. I would say this, though, Corey, because in the week since the FOMC, there's been all this talk and punditry. And, I mean, everybody's got an opinion as to what the Fed's going to do next. I would just add this, just 2 points. You know, one, as far as I know, in any interest rate hike regimen that the Fed has embarked upon in the past, they've never paused their hike schedule and then restarted it going higher. Every pause led to a reversal and a move of cutting. Okay. So this idea that they paused and then all of a sudden, you know, in June, we're going to get a rate hike, that'd be the first of its kind. Okay, that's the first thing people need to understand. Second, got to watch that bond market, my friend. You mentioned it earlier. The two-year note today, as you and I speak, is about 2.46. The 10-year note is 2.66. Well, the current Fed funds average rate, you know, however they don't actually give you a number. They give you a range between 2.25 and 2.5. You'll often see it quoted in between, like, you know, at 2.40. Well, another rate hike in March makes it 2.5 to 2.75. And they'd be pegging that at 2.60, 2.65. Corey, there's no way they're going to hike rates in March if that inverts the overnight rate to the two-year by 20 basis points. There's no way they're going to hike rates in March if it flattens the curve from overnight to 10-year. So, you know, this all this talk about, you know, this economic data point or the jobs report or, you know, we'll get CPI next week. It's all meaningless if the bond market, it doesn't sell off, and if rates aren't higher than even where they were last week. Yeah, going into that FOMC last week, the two-year was 2.55, and they didn't hike. So unless the two-year is 2.80 by the time we get to the middle of March and then March FOMC, they're not going to hike. Period. I mean, they're just not going to do it. That's the one. Everybody can write and opine and, you know, put stuff on Twitter about the Fed's going to do this or that next. If the bond market doesn't sell off and if rates don't go up, they're not going to do jack for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that there will not be a rate hike in March. But hey, I think the Fed still would like to get some sort of a rate hike done. But so much is going to depend on what the markets do. Can you also discuss the potential of an environment where gold and the U.S. dollar are moving up together, and if that environment would actually lead to a gold breakout or something else would need to happen?
Well, the last time we really saw that happen was back in 2016. So, you know, everything, so many things are done by computer now, you know, and 80-90% of the daily volume is just high-frequency trading and computer-driven. And the computers are programmed, you know, by human beings that write into the code. You know, I'm vastly oversimplifying the process, but they write into the code that if the dollar goes up, you sell gold and vice versa. And so it's unusual to get a situation where they're both moving up together. The last time it really happened was back in 2016 in the run-up to and immediately after the Brexit vote. And why was that? The Brexit vote brought great uncertainty to the euro, to the EU, and the euro was falling. And when the euro falls, since it's 60% of the dollar index, the dollar goes up. So you got this uncertainty driving a bid for gold, but then this uncertainty about the euro pushing the dollar higher. And so you can actually get the two going together. How that might play out this year, I mean, you just look at something like Deutsche Bank. You know, that thing is that, you can't put any lipstick on that pig, right? And it's, as we speak, it's down, I don't know, 50 or 60 cents today, about 6%. You know, if the European economy weakens and there's banking crisis again, which I don't, you know, Deutsche Bank's about the biggest one over there, you could get a situation where the euro weakens. All this uncertainty and everything else going on leads to a bid in gold, but the euro weakening leads to a stronger dollar too. So there is a way for all those dots to connect the way you just mentioned.
That is very true. But I think right now it's important to see what gold does in the next month or two, because we are at a time when typically gold does start rolling over. And in all fairness, this run is going on its fourth or fifth month right now. So that would indicate that, you know, some sort of a pullback is necessary. But I think the real important thing is that we don't fall into something that happened last year where the highs of the year happened right around this time. How important is it, do you think, this year that gold doesn't top out right now and never make it back to these levels?
Oh, Corey, I gotta tease you, man. You're like talking to Eeyore. You go, oh, that is true, but you know, we're going right back.
I hear you, buddy.
I mean, we're all just beaten to death. I mean, it has been 6 years. Actually, go back to 2010-11. You know, I mean, it's been 8 years since we've had any kind of sustained fun in gold and silver in the shares. Yeah, a little bit in 2016, but it's been a long time. And so I think we're all, I mean, I'm just teasing you, but I think we're all kind of conditioned to just think, okay, This is nice, but it's just a matter of time before they come beat the crap out of us again and everything. Look, last year we saw our highs for the year in April, and then beginning in June, the bottom fell out. But I think we probably spoke about this last week. My projection last year was we'd be breaking out and be toward 1400 by the end of the year, because I thought the economy would be slowing in the second half of the year. We'd be talking about a Fed reversal in policy, all that stuff I wrote about a year ago. Turns out I was about 6 months too early and thus $100 off. But I think we're still headed in that direction. So, look, anything can happen. I'm not going to try to make it sound like, you know, all of this is a certainty. But I'm pretty confident that we're back into this period of time where the Fed and all the central banks are going to be forced to liquefy the global economy. And as that realization sets in, and again, kind of like in 2010, people go, wait a second, there is no going back to normal, whatever that was, that the central banks don't really have a plan. They're just kind of flying by the seat of their pants, trying to keep the plate spinning. I think that keeps a pretty solid bid under the metals. And one other thing I'd add, Corey, just from technical perspective, because again, the machines that drive these markets are key off of technicals. I mean, gold couldn't look a whole lot better technically. I mean, the 50-day has bullishly crossed the 200-day. The 100-day is about to do the same thing. And then all three are, you know, the 50-day is above the 100-day, above the 200-day. They're all turned. 200-day is going to begin to turn and slope higher. Price is rising. I mean, that leaves a pretty solid bid under the futures market. And so that's something that, you know, should at least help us at least contain any major drops. And so hopefully it won't play out like you just said, that the highs of the years have already been seen.
Hey, you bring up some good points there, Craig, and there are some better technical developments going on, and even some of those developments behind the scenes with what the Fed and other central banks are doing. And yeah, you're right. Unfortunately, when you're in this long of a bottoming process that hasn't broken out, you do, unfortunately, consider that it still hasn't broken out, but it right. will break out one day. I'm hoping for this year, but still, we need to be aware of when the perfect time is or the correct time is to put more money at play. I still do think that there are opportunities in some good stocks. You just need to consistently be very, very selective. Craig, it's good chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time today, and I hope you have a great rest of your week and a great weekend.
Thanks, Corey. Yeah, like you, I hope we live to see it when it finally turns. But all the best, my friend. Always fun to talk to you.